Good morning and welcome to The Weekender, your show where we take you on a guided tour of all of the best that the miniatures industry has to offer this week.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a Justin. Say hi, Justin.
Hi, Justin.
There. We have a Justin. We have a Jerry. Welcome to the show, Jerry. It's always good to have you.
Hola.
We have a Ben. Say hi, Ben.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Ben.
Yeah. And we have a Lloydy.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Lloydy.
Welcome to the show, peeps.
And I'm Warren. And you're watching The Weekender. If you're on YouTube, remember to hit that. Let me get this right. Remember to smash that subscribe button. Hit that like button. Ding that dong button. What else do we need to get him to do?
Remember to check the channel in case YouTube doesn't share us.
Yes, share the video. Apparently that's lots of YouTube juice.
It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we officially became youtube.com/ontabletop.
Finally.
So the URL has now officially changed. Big thank you to the guys at YouTube for doing that. Mm. There's a wonderful guy. Big shout out to Dominic, who Angry Joe put us in touch
Angry
with.
Angry Joe!
Dom, you are a star. And Angry Joe, we still love you so hard, man. We're ready to have your Angry Joe babies here on Beast of
War. We need to see how Angry Joe's been up to. The Street Fighter news or anything?
Yeah, yeah, we're going to catch up on the Street Fighter stuff.
I was just sitting there thinking, it was him that made Street Fighter, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I got to see Angry Joe. Probably doesn't know this, but I was with the manufacturers that are manufacturing that game.
Wait, you flew to China?
No. They flew to me.
Ooh.
No, I sat down with the manufacturers who are making that game. And he happened to have a couple of samples.
Ooh. Are they looking good?
Of the pre-paint stuff.
Are they looking good?
It's amazing. Just what this particular factory is able to do on the pre-paint side now is pretty extraordinary. You know, it's it'll be interesting to see how far pre-paints are going because they're now starting to put shading and all sorts of stuff. Cool. I know, isn't it amazing? The pre-paint stuff is starting to look really good. Massive thank you to YouTube, massive thank you to Angry Joe, and massive thank you to Dominic, the star of YouTube. And Dominic, let me know if we're doing the right thing when we say smash that subscribe button because we're totally lit.
Lit.
Right. On with the show. Mm. This week, we have been doing Defiance Week over on Tabletop. So if you head over to ontabletop.com, you will see Defiance Week where we have been spending a week looking into Infinity Defiance, the new dungeon crawler from the guys at Corvus Belli. We are running prizes. So if you comment on those videos on tabletop.com, post a comment there and post a comment on the videos on YouTube, we will be picking winners who are going to win.
They are going to win a copy of Operation Wildfire for Infinity. And the way we're breaking it down is we'll be picking one winner from the comments on YouTube, one winner from ontabletop.com, and one winner from the Cult of Games community.
Cool. Cool.
So, yeah.
I had to get my QVC voice on there.
So we've got three winners then.
Three winners.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to double up your chances or triple your chances, if you comment on YouTube, you're in with a chance.
Yeah.
On any of the videos, because we're going to pick at random.
Yep.
If you comment on any of the videos on Tabletop, you're in with a chance.
Yep.
If you're also a Cult of Games member, there is another extra one that we will then pick from Cult of Games member comments.
Yep.
So that's, like, if you're all three, you get three chances.
Yeah, yeah. You get the Brizzy bonus chance if you're a Cult of Games member.
And it's worth coming over to ontabletop.com and commenting, because we always do get more comments on YouTube than necessarily over on Tabletop. So you actually have a better chance of winning.
People engage with you a bit more on the main site.
Yeah, if you're watching the YouTube channels, the wee icon will pop up in the first few seconds saying, comment on Tabletop. Click that. And it'll take you to the website.
So you don't need to be a COG member to win. The COG members have their own separate box. They have the third of the three boxes.
Yes, they get the bonus chance to win.
Everybody else has a chance of winning one of the other two boxes.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got something to say.
I can think of so many ways to finish that. And none with the
woman. None of them we can say on the show. I just realized that the moment I let that line up.
That's fine. And I'm going to segue back to what Justin was going to say. I think you were going to say, remember, there's a free trial.
Yes, we have a 30-day free trial for the Cult of Games. So you can actually jump in, join us for our Pointless Views on a Friday, Weekend or XLBS on a Sunday. This week's Pointless Views was absolutely fantastic because we had a little bit of fun with the community and some Discord work.
Yes, the Cult of Games exists on tabletop.com and also in our private Cult of Games Discord server, where we're having lots of fun in there, aren't we, Justin?
Yes.
Yes, yes, we are. Back to what I was saying. I got something to say. Dun, dun. It's about infinity.
That's better.
Right, so Infinity Defiance. I have something to say about this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am super, super stoked, okay? And I want to tell you why you're super stoked, because you may not realize it. Because I know that there's one or two Infinity players out there that are struggling to get their heads around why this is so important. Infinity Defiance, okay? I'm not joking when I say this is a milestone for this game and a milestone in the industry that we could be potentially looking at here. Mm. So let me give you my reasons, all right? I'm going to unleash some Warzone depth upon you here.
Hit me with your truth stick.
I am going to slap you around, little boy. Right, so Infinity Defiance, right, so Infinity the game is a wonderful but highly dense tabletop war game.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people get this kind of impenetrable bounce where they come up to Infinity, they love the sculpts, they love the look of the art, they love the idea of the universe that it's set in, but the game itself requires an investment beyond what they can make, okay?
Yeah, you need to deep dive the rules.
You need to deep dive it, and it's a proper competitive game, okay? So Infinity Defiance has ticked a number of boxes, some obvious, some not so obvious, but I think massively important. So box number one, I think Infinity Defiance is highly accessible. Now you three or you two can either back me up or let me go down on this one, but I find the game itself as a dungeon crawler to be highly accessible, and I found it that there was enough depth in there for me to really get the vibe and the feel of Infinity. I didn't feel like I was playing something else. I felt like I was playing a game of Infinity.
I'll agree with that. One thing it did for me was it gave me a self-contained story hit, which is another one of the things that you can bounce back on with Infinity.
Yes.
Like a nice self-contained story that introduces you to the world, gives you a little bit of a feel and flavor of who's where, what the factions are up to. That I really like.
My next point is pretty much about the story, and I think this is another underlying important thing that Defiance does. Defiance is not only giving us an easy entry into the universe of Infinity, it's, I think, one of the first times that every player who gets involved in this game of Defiance can start to truly feel the weight of the combined army.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of combined army in the game. Mm. They are the main foe in the game because they are the main foe in the Infinity Universe. Mm. But it's the least played faction.
Is it?
Well, either it or Toha. You know,
it's on the lower side of things.
Sure, I'm pretty sure that among players of Infinity, the combined army is probably one of the lesser played factions because everybody else is playing Yuzhing, Pano, Nomads,
the Neo 12.
Okay, what this does is this very squarely sets us up for the importance of the combined army.
Yeah, and gives you a sense of the threat.
This is it. This sense of every player is now going to be playing the combined army because it's played via an AI deck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there. It's starting to it's starting to really set the threat of the main protagonist in the Infinity Universe. Because while we're all, you know, playing Infinity and Yuzhang versus Pano and stuff like that there, do you know what? As interesting as it is, it's all just little fluffy marshmallows. The real danger, the real threat is this combined army that's penetrating in, this point of something that is potentially enormous. Yeah, so I like the fact that Defiance is starting to really give us an opportunity to place the appropriate emphasis upon the combined army as the threat, as the main protagonist, the main thing you need to be shitting yourself about in the Infinity Universe.
It's letting you look at the combined army, because if you come to the main game, you'll look at the faction you like and you might never even look at the combined army or know what it is. You know, what is the combined army? You know, it's the idea of the evolved intelligence seeing the human sphere and going, oh, I'll have that. I'll absorb that. I'll have some more of that. That's tasty. Mm. Thank you.
So it's, you know, I also quite the fan, as anybody that watched Pointless Views on Friday, of the fact that it's metal models.
Yes. You like your metal.
Because, and here's one for you. Take that 30-day trial and come and watch Pointless Views, where we declared metal miniatures are superior in every way. Change my mind. And we had an in-depth on this one with the community live on their Discord.
Well, you see, we posed the question and they started having the conversation. We monitored the conversation, had our own chats back and forth, and they had to wait to Friday to find out what we thought, which was very fun.
Yes. So metal miniatures are superior in every way.
Da bong.
Change my mind. Mm-hmm. And do you know what? Watch the Pointless Views episode. Take the free trial. Come in and watch the Pointless Views episode, because I think, you know, obviously we're not even jesting. This is truth that has been spoken. Go in and watch the Pointless Views, and see what you think, because on every aspect,
bar buoyancy.
And, you know, and buoyancy, that's subjective too, Jerry. Mm. I like my things to sink.
We have to test that yet. I'm going to test that. Another episode of Will It Float?
Well, yeah. Actually, Lloyd, I can debunk that, because I used to have a fish tank and I actually put some Space Marines in with the fish and they sat on the bottom and they were plastic Space Marines.
Depends on the density of the liquid.
Too dense.
it was funny.
You didn't have one of them vodka fish tanks in?
No, but it was funny because I kept coming home to find that the miniatures had moved around the bottom.
Yeah.
And then one day I saw one of the fish flick his tail as he was swimming past and the Space Marine just jumped forward.
Was he in full assault mode at the time? Was he? Like, did he grab that fish by the tail and...
No.
Speaking of grabbing...
Stick his paw claws into...
No, grabbing things. There was a surfer.
Careful now.
There was a surfer who jumped off his surfboard onto the back of a shark.
So he jumped the shark, literally.
Literally, by mistake.
Yeah, did not go well.
On accident.
That's awesome. Unfortunately, there was two surfers attacked recently there just this week.
Oh, well, my story's far more fun than that.
One lost a foot. Right. And then the other didn't. So there you go.
But did any of them try to get on the back of the shark?
I don't know if they tried to get on the back of the shark. Why would a surfer jump off a surfboard?
No, he was just getting on. He was like doing his thing.
He fell off his surfboard onto a shark.
No, he didn't fall. He's surfing.
It was completely derived.
Surfers don't fall when they jump. And then like the waves.
They wipe out.
The wave's done. There's nothing left. So he jumps off.
Yeah.
And lands on a shark.
What kind of a shark?
Like a fish shark.
Oh, like a fish shark. One of those ones.
Fish are friends, not food.
Like a dangerous one, because he's still got like some cuts and
so
things.
So it wasn't a whale shark then.
You need to spread your legs very far to be able to jump on the back of a whale shark.
So it wasn't a baby
Many
shark.
Many of us have been there.
So it wasn't a baby shark.
No. Anyway, so yeah, Defiance. The rules, it's a really capable dungeon crawler. In fact, I've been thinking about this since.
Is it like what I wanted when I played, you'll not know. Is it basically the game that everybody wanted when they started playing, what is that video game that I don't care about anymore?
Mass
Destiny.
Effect. Destiny. Oh, I know. No, I don't know.
Well, you know, with Wrinkle Dink Dot Bot thing.
Who's Wrinkle Dink Dot Bot thing?
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage. Does it give, right. does it, would it give me those feels of that the exploration and the stuff? Moon.
Yeah, you get that feeling of exploration, but it's a really nice one because you get your character progression happening in there. You get nice
and
story
combat
messages
works really
dropping.
Well. Yeah, I enjoyed the combat.
The combat is, everything's really nice, tight, baked in. You've got custom symbols on your dice, but if you've played Aristea, you will be able to pick up this game in minutes.
And here's, and this is my point, you know, because the rule set is has evolved from Aristea, yep. I reckon we could play that game competitively.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure that we could set up a skirmish. A skirmish.
Yeah.
And the three or four of us actually have a battle.
Yeah.
Using that rule.
I thought the whole point of Defiance was it was cooperative as opposed to every other competitive Infinity game.
I know, but I suppose the point I'm making is you could make it competitive.
How quickly can you shoot Justin in the back of the head?
Exactly.
Why me?
Well, here's the thing.
Why not you?
This is an important thing, right? Cooperative games are absolutely wonderfully awesome to a point.
Yes, I know.
Okay? Because, you know, not everybody has one, but for anybody out there with their own Justin,
quarterback syndrome.
We'll always want that last opportunity to shoot him in the back of the head.
So basically, you would play Defiance with friendly fire.
Yes.
Okay.
In a heartbeat, I'd play Defiance with live fire. I think friendly fire is absolutely the way to go. Then we'll call that hardcore Defiance. And I don't think that the rules even need a tweak for that. I think straight off the bat, it'll handle that.
Yeah.
Defiance, blue on blue.
Blue on blue.
Yeah.
So
mistaken identity. Apparently he thought I was an alien.
Yeah.
Go figure.
This week we have put out Let's Plays. We've put out interviews where we've talked about character progression. We have talked about how it's compatible with Infinity.
Yep.
We have opened up the box and had a look through it. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't watched the Let's Play, go and watch it. The Let's Play, I think as Let's Plays go, it's great. I enjoyed making it and I've enjoyed watching it as well.
Yeah.
So.
And with the Kickstarter being live, they're doing very well and they have been busting through stretch goals like nothing else.
Yeah.
So I think there'll be about 17 days by the time folks see this. Mm-hmm. So you've got your core set, I believe that is.
Yep.
And then as we scroll down.
No, that's the core,
your
core box.
That's your core
box. The other
box.
One was the collector's edition.
Apologies. Yeah, because the collector's edition gives you even more stuff.
Yes.
But if I quickly scroll down here, maybe cut away from this loud so I don't make people sick.
No. Okay, so what do you get for your core pledge? Okay, so that's
your
core
pledge is your four heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your combined army.
Yeah, Shavasti.
All of your gaming tiles, your Defiance ship tiles, your
cards,
your weapon cards, character dashboards, rulebook, scenario book, threat tracker, status tokens, doors, dice, and base inserts. Then what you get in the collector's pledge.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your heroes.
You get first strike and keep going. You can spin through this a bit quicker. People will get the idea.
And then you get additional miniatures. Yeah, so in the core set, you don't get as many of these.
Uh-huh.
Because if you want to know in depth what you get, go and watch the video.
Actually, it's all in there.
Yeah, what I was really worried about showing people is just some of the stretch goals that they're busting through, which are way down there.
There's a deluxe set.
Yep, there is.
Yeah, and it's well worth watching. So, and there you go.
Well, I've zoomed out, Justin. If you want to wick on down the page.
Yeah, I want to wick on down the page just to get to it. Here we go.
All right, so these are the stretch goals.
Yeah, so they got funded at 100K, and then they started unlocking new heroes, additional characters to go along with.
That's Billy. That's their remotes. Yeah. Billy's very cute, actually. Yeah. So.
You've then got the she-skin in heavy armor. You've got extra cards, more turrets.
Mm-hmm.
More turrets are always good. Clear tokens. And some of the coolest ones is these alternate heads and things that they've been doing for some of the characters.
Yeah. Well, that would maybe mean more to Infinity players, than the likes of me. Yeah, I'd say Yeah, I like the alternative sculpts and stuff, but you know, it wouldn't be the biggest draw for me in it. Mm. What I'm really interested in is more kind of like weapons cards and equipment cards and the likes. So to see how much the game, you know, expands
and evolves. Yeah.
One of the cool things they did was they've done these micro goals as well, where they're actually doing profiles for the characters.
Mm-hmm.
In the main Infinity game for some of the hardcore players out there, which is quite cool.
Yeah.
And then obviously you've got your add-ons just for some of the extra nice little bits that you might want to grab.
Yeah, it's quite fun. It's obviously Kickstarter's not everybody's going to be happy. That's just the nature of the world these days. But they seem to be unlocking stretch goals at a fairly decent clip.
Oh yeah.
And there's always there's new content every day so far, you know, that we've seen. So yeah, we'll see. Right, the other thing, the Flames of War D-Day Global Campaign is live. Go to dday.warconsole.com. By the time you'll be watching this, we'll be wrapping up week one, but there's still another 5 weeks to go, so you can join in at any point and, you know, get stuck into the battles.
What is happening to Samara Gleese and Karen Tan? Seriously.
Bad things?
Yeah, very bad things.
There's a lot of US involvement, but it looks good, is it?
I think somebody's about to get the Panzer Lair rolled over them whenever I get my games in.
They need to open up all their fronts. Go back up to the top. Let's see who's controlling what at the minute. This could all change by the time we go like, oh, so the Axis only have one point at the minute that they're holding on to.
The bridges,
So the main breaches have happened at least 2 points. That's cool.
Right,
Because they all started out under Axis control, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Every time a theater's open, it's going to be Axis controlled, and then it's up to the Allies to really
push in.
Yeah, and take it over.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So, yeah, starting next week, we're going into phase two. Mm-hmm. It's going to start on Tuesday. It's about midday. That way, if you've been gaming at the weekend or something, you don't have to, because like Sunday night gaming's great, but you don't want to then Sunday night game and then go, oh crap, and you get all my results in real quick. So we're actually going to do all the changes on a Tuesday. So you have your Monday to relax, to get your battle reports in.
Mm. Give you something to do while you're at work. Yeah,
but make sure you do it, because come Tuesday, these three theaters here that you can see will be locked and you won't be able to change the result there anymore.
So if you've played a battle,
get it reported.
Mm. Get it reported before about midday GMT on Tuesday.
Come on, German players. Push your results into Carantan and Samara Gleese.
And if you're wondering how to do things, there's a help section.
Yes. So, which is under home. So if you go up to the home,
so drop click that there in,
and help and how to.
Look at that. Whole big list of them. There's PDFs. And then there's a whole series of online. Click some of the online. Click the first one there. There you go.
How to create an account.
Yep. Boop. There you go. And that'll describe all the step-by-step how to do stuff. So if you're wondering how to do things, visit that section. There's also a link to it on the actual homepage. If you scroll on down, you'll see like a box. Go back to the homepage there, Justin.
A little disturbed that Loki is joining.
Yep.
So to here.
Yep. And scroll down a wee bit. And there you go. See that box? There you go. Click in there. You'll find PDF guides and you'll find online guides. So that way, if you're just sitting on your phone, the online guides are handy.
Yeah.
If you're sitting on PC or an iPad or something, then the PDFs are good. I believe we're going to add another video in there too. Jerry, didn't you record a video as well about how to add battle reports?
I did indeed, yeah.
So just
a very simple thing.
Probably by the time you're looking at that, you'll have that too.
It'll be up somewhere.
Hmm. Okie dokie. So, dday.warconsole.com. Go and get stuck in. And remember, there's clubs and stores functionality as well. So if you're a club or a store and you want to register on it, it's a good way for you to pick up new players and things like that. So as other players, as they're looking around, they might discover you. Go and get signed up. Mm-hmm. Right. It's time for the news. It's time to actually hear Ben's beautiful voice. Finally. Ben, you look ill.
I am ill.
Ben, I'm not feeling well either, man. I've been lem sipping here, and I've been sucking on Strepsils like they're going out of fashion.
Exactly. I've been sucking and coughing and all kinds of things for the rest of most of this week, but I'm here to talk to you one last time. You'll be glad to know, Lloyd. One last time about the Aussie Arc Bone Reapers.
Yay! Bring on the Aussie Army.
The Aussie Arc Bone Reapers, right? Like, come on, give us some boners here. Do we see?
Okay, so last week, obviously, we had the Feast of Bones set, which came together with the Ogres and the Ozyark Bone Reapers, which will now be available this Saturday.
Massively popular set, that Feast of Bones. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly popular. I didn't know. It was one of those sets I was wondering.
I was a bit Marmite.
I was wondering, is this going to sell out? Holy smokes.
Yeah.
It flew off the shelves.
Clearly, they're just buying it for the Ogres. There's some serious Ogre love going on there.
Oh,
but you see, the thing is, as much as we've had a giggle about the Aussie army, right? Recently, like when they put it in that set and they put it up against the Ogres, I was looking at it last week going, oh, that's actually a really good set.
It is a really good set.
Because I couldn't help it. I was looking at it going, it's not my cup of tea, this army. But actually, when they're put in this box and all laid out, I was like, oh, that's actually quite a good set.
That's because they didn't have Rick Mayall in it.
Let's go back to this.
Okay,
dude.
So go ahead, Ben.
So yeah, so the news for this week is that this weekend pre-orders go up for pretty much everything else within the Ozyark Bone Reapers army. So we've got the book and everything will be coming out on Saturday, and then you can look through that and decide what you want from that to go and pick up from Games Workshop, and of course, store.ontabletop.com as well. So we've got Orpheon Catacross, who is the leader of this force in his resplendent glory there, standing atop his mighty mound there with his retainers and stuff. There's some pretty cool rules and things for him in the background, in that he actually gets more deadly the more wounds you take off him, because all of his retainers and stuff are dying, and so he draws his weapon and comes down from his pedestal to come and fight you on the battlefield. That's kind of very cool. We've also got a bunch of additional characters in the mix as well.
No, just before you move on, Jerry,
let's see that picture.
Is it Xerxes?
Xerxes.
From 300.
Yeah.
The Persian guy.
Could be,
yeah.
Big tall fella.
Tall fella.
Nose ring.
Yeah. He has a Xerxes feel about him to me.
You say Xerxes, I say he's got a Moomin codpiece.
I was.
I cannot stop seeing the Moomins there.
Do you know what? I feel so much better now because I was looking at that codpiece, and whenever Ben said his retainer, I thought, is that what he's talking about?
That's
there?
Clearly what it is.
It is magnificent. If you can manage to take your eyes
away
off from the Moomin codpiece.
I don't know. I'm getting kind of Mighty Ducks vibes off that thing.
Man, if you're going to paint that, you got to paint a wee smiley face underneath those two eyes.
Yeah. Oh, bollocks. You've wrecked the model for me. I can't stop looking at it.
We get Justin in there with clippers. He'll fix it.
Well, he was like Xerxes, and now he's...
I like this guy, though, else, right?
So. Which one?
Look at these two.
The guy with the map.
Yeah, and the guy beside him...
The one holding his dead pigeon.
Yeah, I was wondering what that is. Those two guys are really cool.
Yeah, bring it up big there, Justin. I didn't even know there was a fourth guy there.
There's actually like five total on the base.
There's five? Where's the fifth?
He himself.
Big one. All right, okay, all right. Xerxes in. All right, he's the fifth. All right.
Yeah, I think they're really cool, the two guys down
the front. I like the guy with the map, because I would basically, on the other side of that, I will paint... Metal miniatures are superior in every way. Change my mind.
I'm kind of digging the guy on the left, the sort of Oriental general.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool looking.
Okay, let's see, because I caught the glimpse of the top of the next model.
You did.
And it looks interesting, so let's...
If you give me a moment, this is...
Wait, okay. There we go.
Okay, there you go, Justin.
All right,
let's see.
So there's the next one.
Oh, it's a skipping rope.
No.
It really is.
It is a skipping rope. I wasn't expecting that.
No, nobody expects that.
what do we know about Skipper?
So this is the whole... It effectively follows everything that consists of the creation of the Ozyark Bone Reapers through these different characters. So you've got the Mortizan Soul Reaper there, who, with his skipping rope side, as you say, will be reaping the souls of the dead on the battlefield. And then that gets pushed on to the guy that you see below, who's the Mortizan Bone Shaper, who makes the bodies out of all the fallen bits that we find on the battlefield and turns them into the bodies of the Soul Reapers, the Bone Reapers.
So the Bone Shaper is standing on a giant skull.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
And the interesting thing you can see here is exactly the kind of method in which he creates the bones, because if you look down towards his feet, he's actually breaking apart the bone of the skull and then turning it into the skeletal form that you see above
it. He's sucking it up through his feet.
I don't know, I'm getting...
And out through his tentacles.
Necron conversion vibes off this thing.
Will it be... Can it go bigger? Is it? Can it be bigger? Oh, look at that.
It is quite Necron-y in many respects, isn't it?
Well, this is what we were saying last week, Warren. You didn't see the terrain that came out recently, did you? Like we were looking at last week.
Pyramid yeah, with
the
obelisks.
One that's coming out this weekend.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I mean, like, just even looking at what he's making, that just feels tacky to me.
Mm. Okay, right. And after him, Ben, what have we got?
This then moves into the Mortisan Soul Mason, who is the one who takes the souls and then takes the bodies and forms them together into making the actual warriors that you see that fight as the vanguard of Katakos.
We know this guy. Okay, we'll move swiftly on past the Soul Mason.
Past the walking commode.
Okay.
We've seen this guy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is He-Man. The Liege Kabalos.
It's got a bit of a He-Man feel to it.
We've got the Liege Kabalos there, who's one of the generals that you'll be seeing fighting the battlefield. As you say, we've talked about them before when we've looked at this army and some of the previews. And then we've got a named version of one of those. So you've got Arch Kabalos Xanthos there, who's going to be the guy leading the way in battle, charging forward with his Bone Reapers.
That I like.
See, we did spend quite a bit of time talking about this one the first time we saw it.
No, not that one. It was the one above.
The one above? Yeah, the lighter one?
The one above, I was looking at and I couldn't quite make out a shape, right? But with the boner horse rearing up, that I kind of like. There's no kind of about it. I like that.
But do you want that? Do you want it?
Cringer. I don't know.
Do you want it?
I don't know. I think,
do you really, really
I think
want
if
it?
Me and a buddy bought the Feast of Bones sets each, I'd maybe go with the ogres. You know, this army is going to be... I don't know.
But it's the new army. It's bound to be super powerful.
Forget about the power for a moment. Would it be fun to paint? I think it would be fun.
But he clearly has the power.
Contrast, great.
He does have the power, yeah. I have a problem with the variation in styles of armor. There doesn't look like there's a consistent theme. You said it yourself, there's a Japanese looking fella standing. And then other parts look like
but
they're
the consistent
very
theme,
Egyptian.
Mm. The consistent theme is they've all been pulled together from all over the place and mashed together and they're all now bony creatures.
Yeah, but the fact that they're shaping them
doesn't make a nice army though doing that.
You know, yes, they can construct all of these things, but the fact that they've got somebody who can essentially do tree singing or bone singing or whatever you want to combine.
So you're saying that Constructicons?
Yeah. But I would like to see they've gone for a theme where they have the same style of armor. Mm. I don't want this guy looking samurai, this guy looking Egyptian, this guy looking like a Sigmarine, or this guy looking like a dwarf or whatever. You know,
so you just
run with
a base style that they all ran with.
They seem like they've chopped and changed a lot. It's like we were thinking we were going to go this way, and now we're thinking we're going to go this way, and now we've just got we're going to go in every direction.
But that's the key thing about a lot of like an undeady type army is you're pulling every sort of thing together that you can.
No.
If
you were a mystical army rampaging across a world, you'd be picking up randomers as you go all over the place.
But they're not picking up randomers.
They're constructing
these. They're specifically building everything to a look.
But they're building from what's available.
No, he's not. If you go up to the Bone Shaper, he's literally making him out of bits of a giant skull.
Yeah, but...
And then he's decided to make him to look like a humanoid skeleton.
But he's not
making armor.
Yeah, he's not doing the armor.
So the armor is basically whatever's on the battlefield with them as they make them that they have to drag together. I think that's what Lloyd's going for.
I don't know.
Yeah, and if that armor existed in Age of Sigmar somewhere else, I would go fair play.
Fair point.
But they haven't used a single recognizable feature of any of the Sigmarite armies. So you can't go... He's got a bit of that armor and he's got a bit of this armor and they've got a bit of that. It is a bespoke armor set for the new faction. It just doesn't have any rhyme or reason to it.
I'm not saying I like it or dislike it. I'm just putting forward.
I would.
Because I think it would make more sense, like you said, if the armor reflects. That's the key. If that's the way it was going and not necessarily manufacturing armor,
in which case,
it should replicate other armies
that already exist.
And if they're not, then they should have just went mad deep into Oriental undead, because we don't see that often enough. And I would love to see a samurai-esque undead army kicking around, because that would look amazing. I mean, that one fella standing beside Lord Moomin.
Yes.
Looks fantastic. Yeah.
That guy there just looked absolutely badass.
Yeah, he screams he screams Oriental.
Yes.
Don't know what this screams. More Egyptian.
Yeah.
With the scarab-like shield and the glaive and the big headdress. This guy at the far side.
He's Oriental. Like
he's a bit Oriental, a bit Radio Rental. Mm-hmm. And then that's a pox doctor from medieval Europe.
That's exactly what that is.
Oh, I finally... And, I can
see
finally
the face.
See it. Yeah, finally and, see the face.
And it's this disparity between what they've gone with. Because they've all got the same style of armor. I mean, that shield and that armor and that armor. All the armor's made out of the same overlapping sections. Mm-hmm. So... clearly, it's been built from something.
Yeah, I guess.
It's just a bit weird.
They've gone for really weird feet. Their feet are all like little stumpy type things. Look, have a good look at the feet.
Maybe maybe the bone shapers aren't good at doing feet and hands. Do a lot of them wear mittens?
Well, I mean, like they are quite difficult to sculpt, you know.
So what, we're, from so what we're saying is this is still a Marmite army.
Yeah.
It certainly is.
All right, let's roll on down and see if there's anything more in here past the heroes.
There's nothing else in there. No, I tell a lie. There absolutely is. There's the Mortak guard. Okay.
And again...
at the moment you thought we were finished, we're now
more.
And again, it looks like they could go super, you know, specific with the armor because they have that similar style of shield and armor again, but it's just not defined.
Yeah. For me, I don't know. I think some of the reshaping on the skulls and stuff is just, I don't know, it feels like really smoothed out as if they're just playing with Play-Doh a little bit too much.
Yeah, I like them. I like that guy with the banner. I specifically like that guy with the banner.
Is the Joker?
The Joker's in there as well. He's just up from the guy with the banner. Right. What else have we got in there?
Let me step back. We've got the cavalry. We've talked about them before, I think.
Well, let's see them big if we can.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there we look. Look at that. Nice and big. What do you think of the rhinos?
Yeah, the big horns on the front one.
See, I guess this is your point here, Jerry. Even the constructed creatures themselves, some have horns, some don't. Mm.
Yeah, it's
these are odd looking guys.
Here. I quite like the Grievous.
I quite like them because they're so different from everything else.
Yeah, there's something odd about them. I don't know, there's something weird about the pose.
I'm going to get a load of those.
It's because he's holding a two-handed weapon like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, which does feel weird.
Well, he wouldn't be able to swing it.
Yeah.
Because the arms won't extend at the same rate.
Yeah.
Yeah. These I'm not so fond of.
Well, that's back to your Oriental look there. It's the helmet that gives a...
So we've got Egyptian Oriental insecty looking dudes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Made out of the finest of all bones.
Well, would you not...
This is a massive release, isn't it?
Yeah.
But could you argue though if you're looking for like we've not really been able to nail it down to anything, does that not make it unique, or does that just make it too complicated and too out there?
A few different flavors in there. I'm quite interested in
it.
This
definitely
one.
Makes it unique. I'll give it that. But this is since the Stormcast came out. This is the first new fantasy army they've released for Sigmar because everything else has been a variation of something that they've done for years.
Night Haunts were new.
They were still undead, though.
Yeah, but they're Night Haunts.
Yeah, but they're ethereal undead. They've done ethereal undead for years. Yeah, but they have.
This one does kind of break the mold a little bit. I like this guy that's just grabbing up the dead bits from the ground and stuffing it into himself.
Yep.
I hadn't even seen his wee face.
Like little bunny.
Little bunny down the bottom. He's going, ooh, a sword. Ooh,
right, surely we're done now.
No, we've got the
catapult. I forgot about the baculus.
Yeah, I think how amazing it would be to have hands in your crotch. That'd be awesome.
No. Thank you, but no.
That was scratch
your ankle. We're done.
And now we're done. There we go. Okay.
So that was a brief walk down Aussie Ark Lane.
Lane. Next up.
Not a bat to be seen. I don't know what they eat.
Next up, I have an absolute badass to show you. This is Thanos, the Mad Titan preview for Marvel Crisis Protocol. Look at that.
No Infinity Gauntlet.
Not yet.
Well, you see, that's the cool thing about this. So this is the new model that was shown off at Eschenspiel this year, and it should be coming out sort of early next year, hopefully, which would be kind of cool. But as Warren was saying, as well as the awesome sort of throne terrain piece that he comes with, they've also done an alternate head for him, where he's doing a little bit of a smirk and stuff. And there's also the one with the Infinity Gauntlet. So he's got it raised and ready to smash it up some Avengers on the tabletop. The other cool thing about this as well is that everyone was thinking, oh, is this going to be the new model that will be useful in the kind of like two versus one mode and things they've got coming for the game? But he's actually going to be available to be used in sort of standard play as well. So be able to make your own team around Thanos, which will be very, very cool to see on the tabletop. And I think the model's looking very, very cool for this one. And it's pretty big as well, as you imagine he would be.
Yeah. So. I like the smirk. I like the sculpt on this. I like the face.
I'd like a sitting pose of him as well.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like in the movies, how long did it take Thanos to stand up? How many movies?
I hadn't considered it like that before. But yeah, nice. Nice.
Yeah, very cool.
On the topic of comic books, DC have some new releases as well. We have Wonder Woman and Superboy and Steel as well, I believe.
Yeah, so this is some new stuff from the guys at Night Models. They've been working on some new stuff that's coming out towards the end of October, beginning of November, so right about now. And so leading the way, we've got a new version of Wonder Woman, as you can see there on her big, huge scenic base there. She's also going to come with an alternate headpiece as well, so if you're going to be defending Themyscira or whatever, we've got a really cool new model for you to pick out for her. This is then joined in with a new double set, which includes Superboy, who I didn't realize this until I started reading the background, was a clone of Superman and fought alongside the Teen Titans. There you go. And he's also going into battle there alongside the Steel, who was, again, I didn't notice until I started reading about it, John Henry, who dedicated himself to fighting alongside Superman and ridding Doomsday from the city and stuff. So some really cool options there if you're going to be playing something that's based around the idea of Superman and theming stuff around there.
Or the death of Superman. Like,
didn't Shaquille O'Neal do that as a movie years ago?
No.
He did Steel.
No.
I boogie around danger like a soul-trained dancer. With a will of iron, a heart of gold.
It's a total fabrication.
That didn't happen. Okay, I'm back to the tiny fighting men. It's nice to see those because we've seen Cyborg Superman and the Eradicator a couple of weeks ago. So with Superboy and Steel, that's the four Supermen who replace Superman when he dies after Doomsday does him up like a kipper.
See, as long as well as those two options that you've got there, and sort of like, you know, for the death of Superman, that kind of thing, they've also done a new set for the Suicide Squad. So if you want to pick up some of those characters, get those anti-heroes into the mix, those villains, you know, making a name for themselves, and you've got that option there as well. And they can obviously be used as a full force in the DC Universe miniatures game, which is pretty awesome.
Night models know how to sculpt, though, don't they?
Yeah. They always do a mix between the comic book versions, the movie versions and stuff, which I find a little bit odd, but that's just me.
Yeah, but they're normally split. I mean, those are all the comic book versions there. So sometimes they did like three or four Batman, including 60s Batman ones.
On the topic of Batman, I don't see it on the running order here, but Night Models just announced third edition of the Batman miniatures game is on its way. Now, there wasn't very much that we saw other than a big, massive yellow Batman box. So we're curious as to see what's in it. But yeah, third ed of the Batman game, that sounds interesting. I'm looking forward to that. The only thing that we know is that
Batman
will be in it.
It has Batman.
And we reckon the Joker's in it because we see the Joker's
on the front of the box. Yeah. So you've got to assume he's going to be in there. So it would be an iconic clash to see done back on the tabletop again. So
moving on, we have new crews and some gifted characters for Carnivale, Ben.
So this is one of the other things we wanted to chat about here, because Carnivale is one of those games that, you know, I think a lot of people know about, but it'd be nice to dive into it and show off some of the new models and stuff they've been doing, because TT Combat have really been, you know, going all out and showing off some really cool stuff for this. So we got to see two new sort of warband sets that can be used in the game, using as your gangs for both the Rashar and also for the Guild. So leading the way for the Rashar, we've got the Unholy Mutations. And one of the big things about this is that they've really gone to town and brought out a lot of models that people really wanted to see. So in here, you've got a couple of different things. So you've got two hybrids, who are sort of like the mix between humans and the aquatic beasts from beneath the seas and within the canals and things. And then you've got the lesser Ugdru as well, who are there sort of there too. And there's also some advanced hybrids in the mix as well. So they've done some really awesome things there. try and bring that kind of Hammer horror-esque stuff into the mix, which I thought was really cool. And it helps you sort of show the different sort of progression between the different styles of creature that you get for the Rashaan as well, which I thought was really good. And that really ties into that Cthulhuian nature that you really get from Carnivale 2. On the other side of things as well, we've also got some stuff for the guild with the Rabble Rousers. So this is another set of guys that you can use in the guild and sort of spread them out as you like and use them in there. So you've got some citizens in there, some recruiters, and there's also one of the characters that I know a lot of people have been waiting to see for Carnivale. So you've got the Oarsman there with that massive bladed oar for sort of fighting off creatures from the deep. And then you've also got the Arbalest, who is the lady there with the massive crossbow that's going to be taking people out from range at the same time as well. So some really cool new models that they've been working on there. Really, really building on stuff after the Kickstarter and everything for Carnivale that came out a couple of months ago as well. Which is
they
really
are beautiful, aren't they?
The sculpting and the painting style is very, very different to what we've seen before for Carnivale. I mean, I know the guys over at Warcradle have taken it over, but TT Combat,
yeah.
But it's a very, very different style to what we've seen previously.
I don't think so.
I don't know. There's something jarring me with these.
I think they've done a really good job at this.
They've done a great job. I'm saying it feels very, very different.
It's maybe a little bit different from the slightly more true nature, maybe that you would have seen with the original Respawn game, but done here, sort of heroicing everything up a little bit has really worked for what they wanted to do for it. Because Carnivale is a really over the top and extravagant game.
It is.
I think you need models that kind of reflect that. And you can see that in the Gifted as well, which will be the next thing we can come to. You've got two of the slightly more magically powered individuals coming to the game as well. So you've got Fate and Justice there, which are very, very cool. They can be used within their own sort of own faction of Gifted. I mean, they're effectively like superheroes or mutants within the world of Carnivale, which I thought was really cool. And they've also got some stuff that can be used, and some sort of rules and things, that can be used, where they can be blended into other factions as well. And you can use them together as a sort of duo to hunt down some of the characters on the tabletop. So yeah, some more cool stuff from TT Combat.
Yeah, I think they're gorgeous. I think it may just be the paint style that's changed from the studio paint job.
I think you're right. That's probably exactly what it is the colours are a bit more vibrant than what I'm used to.
Well, next up, we have an interview with Second Dynasty. So Justin and Jerry got a chance to sit down an interview with Ben, who's doing a Kickstarter at the moment with some 3D STL files. So let's see how they got on.
Hello, folks. I'm joined today by Ben Mowbray and the delightful Justin.
Hello.
And we're going to be looking at Starship 4 Kickstarter, I believe you're up to now. And this is for one ship this time, unlike previous Kickstarters where you had fleets of ships. But it's a big one.
It's very big.
It is very big. So do you want to tell us a bit about the Kickstarter then, Ben?
Sure. Yeah. Like you mentioned, it's my fourth one now. We had huge success last time, doing the three ships, best one ever. So obviously I got a strong and clear signal that people want ships. And I happened to conduct a backer survey at the end of the last campaign, asking everyone pretty much what they wanted to see. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought I would do a couple of different ships like I did last time, but this one just got so big I was like, it's going to be insane if I do any more than this. So I did decide to settle on the Chimera. And compared to the largest one, which was the scout ship before, which was, I think, 78 centimeters long or just shy of 2.5 feet. With the struts, you can see it behind me there. That's the scout ship.
Yeah.
And next to it, the Chimera, which is 3 feet or 90.1 centimeters in length. That's the standard version.
Yeah.
Because unlike the other ships, I found that I love designing ships and I have my own aesthetic. The scout ship is sort of like based on the amalgamation of my my influences, which is a lot of 70s and 80s sci-fi, but also Japanese science fiction animes from the same sort of period. However, I did come into a sort of issue with that, with the translation to 3D printable gaming terrain. And that's, you can have, if you want to keep the outside and have it be aesthetically pleasing, you're going to limit the interior space.
Yeah.
So the Chimera is sort of like,
it's
I guess a plaster for that issue.
Yeah.
So that you can, it has a lot more interior volume and playable space than the other ships.
Yeah, we can see that. We're just scrolling through the Kickstarter at the moment. It has a very Space Truckers feel to it, where you've got such a robust looking ship, but at the same time, there's so much play area in there with multiple decks, and it all uses a locking system, so it's not glued together in sections.
It has a glue-free solution. That's correct. It uses the open lock system, which is open source. Mm-hmm. Many different, all my past terrain uses it, and it's compatible with a number of different types of locks. I will admit that the model you see behind me does have a little bit of glue on it, but that is because we actually have been using animation tools to make the pitch video. It's very limited only on the base, and it's dissolvable, but it has been designed to fit with clips. And I have actually, as one of the first stretch goals, I did some custom clips, which feed through a number of different parts to improve the stability on the bottom of the ship. I can probably show it later, but believe it or not, despite the tiny looking landing gear, it does actually fully support them. Quite pleased with my own engineering, to be honest.
Well, you really should be. It's like internal buttressing on the miniature. So, yeah, the clips themselves give rigidity to it.
Mm-hmm. I'm just loving the whole aesthetic that you have for these ships, Ben, just because it really harkens back to those sci-fi shows from whenever I was a kid. And then just seeing some of the stretch goals you're running here, I love the fact that you're doing like turret ports and stuff onto it as well.
Oh, of course. Like, I mean, that the first thing anyone wants when it comes to gaming, it's guns, missiles, and weapon systems. That's been noticeable. I did want to make the base ship something a little bit more generic, because I'm trying to think of like reusability, replayability, right? So if you make it like a cargo ship, that's something that you can redress, reset, reuse. And if you want to make it a huge player ship, you can, and it's customizable.
Mm-hmm. Now, whenever you're running this out, it's STL files folks are getting, and what sort of printers would you recommend people would run these through?
They've been designed for FDM printers, which have seen a phenomenal reduction in price these days, actually. The Ender 3, which is like I think it retails around $250, which is quite an approachable cost. Using PLA plastic, which is pretty cheap and standard. I use Prusas, which are around about 750 to 900 euros, depending if you want to buy the kit or the fully assembled version. Personally, I try to focus a little bit more on the design side of things, but of course I have to print things out. I have a love-hate relationship with 3D printers, and they do require a little bit of an interest in the hobby. But if this had been a product from, say, Games Workshop or someone else, it would assumably cost significantly more than what it would cost to print out yourself. And at these scales, the PLA works quite well.
I've done a lot of work with PLA here in the office. Basically, whenever it came to 3D printing, Warren basically passed the project over to me. So I think I've been running like 3 Anycubic i3 Megas, an Anycubic Predator, and a Photon for a while now. So I'm very curious just to see how these work and how the STL files actually load out onto your build plates and stuff. That's where my real fun with the hobby is just figuring out what's the most efficient way I can run it out on a machine.
Right. Well, I do try to orient the model for optimal printing. I try to make them as support-free as possible. So if you're using even the slicer technology is getting a lot better these days with supports. I wouldn't recommend printing something of this size on an SLA printer, because just the resin costs are going to be insane. But you can definitely get higher quality if you want to go that way, but it's primarily FDM, which melts the plastic rather than using a liquid resin, which is, I think, the most cost-effective way to build it out.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I've been building costumes and stuff for a while, so, like, even doing prop weapons and stuff, it's just so efficient to run FDM. And honestly, me personally, I would love to get a go at running one of these. I'm just looking through your Kickstarter, and I'm seeing you're looking to unlock things like side engines and things now, which just really change the profile of the ship.
Yeah, the profile can change quite a bit. It's one of the primary features that's it's designed to be modular. So you can make it smaller if a almost meter-long ship sounds a little bit too large for your table. You can shorten it. You can there are parts options that have come out in the stretch goals to make it bigger or smaller. Mm-hmm. Although bigger, you might want to – well, it should be possible with new parts.
Mm. Well, no, we like bigger.
Yeah.
We do like bigger, don't we, Jerry?
Yeah, it's always good. I suppose if you're playing something where you want to get people in amongst the ship itself, and the fact that you can do this in sections, you could potentially have all three floors or three decks of the ship laid out side by side and having people moving up and down. And yeah. Imagine games like AVP would be particularly amusing in here.
Yeah. You see, there's an episode of Battlestar Galactica I remember where they actually landed all the ships on a planet. This is the remake one.
All right, yes.
And basically they were converting all the ships into like housing and office spaces and things like that. I would love to do a gaming table with these ships and just do that gaming table.
Well, you know, we've seen that on Jakku when people were just using things like the Falcon as just a bit of shade in the middle of the desert. So mm-hmm. It's all doable. You have the 3D model that you can spin around for us, Ben.
Yeah. So this is the Chimera. You should be able to see it now, I hope.
Yep.
She is quite large. Three decks, standard. The parts are designed, or rather the decks are designed stackable. So I've tried to work with gravity instead of against it, mm-hmm. So that you can essentially lift off the outer hull. So let's take off the top there, and you can then see inside the upper deck, which is designed for sort of living spaces.
Yeah.
Right now they're quite bare bones, but I guarantee that quite soon there will be additional options. For up on the upper deck. It's got a little bit less space in the stock version because of the slanted ceiling. But then if we go down to the second deck, we have the bridge at the front.
Yeah.
Quite spacious compared to the scout ship from the last campaign. A little bit of a kitchenette and the sort of like tactical area.
Hang on, can you just back up and pivot in the kitchen area again? What do I see? Sure. What do I see in the back corner? Is it a little round table?
Yeah, it looks familiar.
It does look very familiar to me, yeah.
Yeah. I tried to be to use the same design language that we have been growing up with, if you're in a similar age group to that I suspect we are all in.
Yeah.
It's definitely been an inspiration for that. And in fact, the primary example of the ship that inspired me for this one is the Gozanti Cruiser from, I think, first seen in episode one, but has featured prominently in Clone Wars and Rebels. So there are some influences there.
Oh, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. And I think we all want to play in those worlds. Yeah. What sort of size-wise, would the things like the walkways and the corridors be if this was printed at the
Size? So we can isolate a single square there. Here, let's see. Mm-hmm. I can take two of those and let's see.
It's like wizardry.
Maya skills. This is Autodesk Maya for anyone who's wondering. This particular green object mm-hmm. that I've got highlighted there is essentially an inch by an inch. Mm-hmm. And we're representing roughly the D&D scale of 1.5 meters or 5 feet to a side, essentially. So approximately 28 millimeters to 32-ish.
Yeah.
I mean, the scale is going to look slightly off no matter what. You can't. Minis aren't perfect in that way.
And you can't account for everybody's collection. But it's nice that, you know, a sort of a standard 25 mil round base will walk down those quite neatly.
Yeah, and of course, with 3D printing, the beauty of it is if you want a different scale, you could scale these down. It might get a little bit trickier with some of the detail at 15 millimeter, but you can certainly go upwards if you want to turn this into a Space Hulk or something like that.
I would love to play Core Space in this.
Yeah. I haven't tested. I've got my copy in the background there, but I haven't been able to test it yet. But as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, I need these minis. I can put them in my spaceships.
It is a very fun game. I imagine having a raid mission for Core Space where you're an invading crew rocking in to steal someone's things, you know, all their shiny toys.
It speaks to me in the way Firefly does. They are a hunking set of engines I see coming up in the rear there as well.
Oh, yes. We have a almost three-deck engineering section. So you can see the engineering here. There's quite a few shadows. I can turn off the shadows a little bit if you want to see a bit better.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I kind of like the moodiness with the shadows in there.
Oh, I'll put it back on then. So you can just see some of the details. You don't quite get as much as what you get out of a render, but it should give you an idea of the 3D space here. So these engines are quite large and quite heavy. You can see these are all clip locks. So there are no actual clips in the visualization. We can swing it back into the cargo bay. You can see they have these. The cargo bay doors, they actually come... in one's three sections. There's one there, a second one there, and a third one there. But they print as one part, so they actually open up, so the hinge is built into the model.
Oh, so it's pre-articulated.
Articulated, yes. Integrated. I try to cut down on things like that because it can be a nuisance. Mm-hmm. They'll be a bit loose when you first print them, but get a coat of paint onto them and it'll be fine.
It was nice seeing the little tracked rover, I suppose, lander, rolling out of it.
Yes, the rover is actually from the Dragon's Rest. A little shout out to them, fellow Australian, making some awesome stuff, Ian from the Dragon's Rest. So we had a little bit of cross promotion there, so you can actually get a few discounts on their stuff as well. Mm-hmm. I think the stuff he makes is fantastic, and as far as I'm concerned, I just want to see more high quality sci-fi stuff out there. So.
It's something I'm absolutely loving, just because 3D printers are just unlocking the potential to do the perfect gaming tables, our perfect sci-fi worlds.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, because of the nature of sci-fi, there aren't the same limitations that there are with fantasy, where you have a fairly limited... I think we're starting to see that on the STL scene that, you know. So what we're seeing in the STL scene these days is, I mean, there's a lot of great, great stuff. But in the fantasy scene in particular, I think we're starting to see a little bit of repetition where, you know, it's similar sort of style is being represented. You can only take the sort of medieval or pseudo-medieval aesthetic so far. But science fiction on the other end is just so broad because the future is open, so you can go Star Trek, you can go Mass Effect, you can go Japanese style Macross, Gundam, Alien. They're even just with human designs, there are so many aesthetics available, let alone Alien.
Now, important question. So anybody who missed out any of your last Kickstarters, are they able to pick up the stuff that was on those in this Kickstarter?
This might be the last time we offer absolutely everything. So there is like a collector pledge, and there's also a pledge for collecting all of the ships. So they are quite extensive files, like the Chimera has over 400 parts fully printed. So you're getting quite a lot of terrain in those as well that could actually be repurposed as just general terrain sets. But yeah, we do have them on offer at various pledge levels and as add-ons. So if you're missing something, you can get in there. And we'll probably also have a reduced cost post-campaign where you can pick up some of the other items individually on My Mini Factory at a reduced price. So.
Cool. Very cool. I am absolutely digging what I'm seeing here. I want to lay my hands on some of these files and start playing with them because it looks like it's a ton of fun.
Well, the kitchenette is actually freely available right now. There's a link on the Kickstarter page, so you can test that out straight away if you want. Otherwise, we can come to an arrangement.
Yeah,
so.
you need to test out the kitchenette. I have games of Djarik that I need to win on that. Well, it's been fascinating.
Well, it's actually the wall part,
not the table. Oh, that's a shame. Yeah. Well, in that case, you're going to have to back this then, Justin.
We need to eat this month.
No, eating's overrated, I've been told.
Well, Ben, it looks like a fantastic Kickstarter. It looks like there's tons of stuff that people can be unlocking and having fun with. And just if they're curious about delving into the 3D printing hobby, this looks like a great one to have a go with.
So yeah, exciting stuff coming from Second Destiny. The whole idea of playing across a meter long ship in multiple sections could be an awful lot of fun. I think, you know. You were talking core space. I still think AVP is the way to go on that one. Just have one alien in there eating his way through the crew.
I don't know. I think laying out all the different levels of that ship and playing a game of core space as like a crew raid could be a lot of fun.
You could go either way.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That and all the additional extras that are in this.
We need to fire up the 3D printers though for that one.
Warren, if I can get the files, I'm happy to take the time to run it out for you.
Wait, about 6 weeks of printing, do we reckon? Or
give me 2 months.
2 months. Just 8 weeks in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many men?
How many printers is the question.
Right, let's move on to some Kickstarters. Okay, yeah. So we're going to kick off with League of Infamy from Mantic. Mm-hmm. 11 days left. It's a occasionally cooperative dungeon crawler. Jerry, what do we know about it?
It's all about shooting people in the back of the head.
I could live with that, yeah.
So it's interesting. It's for Kings of War backgrounds are from Panathor, but in this case, the League of Infamy is a unusual group of people who don't like the balance of power to change too much. So these aren't governments, these aren't, you know, people in charge. These are essentially bankers going, we don't think the elves should really have that much power. We're going to get a group of people like the usual suspects, mm-hmm. people who can be sent in and do the mission, and if they die, it doesn't matter. And then they will balance, you know, by butchering the elves, or maybe then the halflings will get a bit full of themselves, so they need to be dealt with, and they're always willing to throw people into harm's way.
Yeah.
So it's that cooperative feel, because you can play against a dungeon keeper who decides, you know, how to spend the various resources they get as they blunder their way through, raising alarms and that sort of thing. Or there is going to be an AI option if you want to play fully cooperative. Mm-hmm. But again, I say fully in quote-unquote marks, quote-unquote.
Competitive.
It's very competitive because yeah. you have a set of cards of your own that you can trade in and out on various turns, and they allow you to do things. So I was watching a Let's Play where, like Hellboy, your team isn't dead until everybody's down. So you can lose, you can be knocked out, people can stand over you and just beat you on the head repeatedly to make sure you don't get up again. But until the last member of the party goes, your party's still valid. Mm-hmm. So you need to wipe out a whole team in one go. And a goblin went down on the ground and people were talking about, maybe we'll just leave and we'll leave the goblin to his own devices, until he pointed out, going, none of you are getting out of here without me. I'm just saying that. Because whatever card he had in his hand stopped them from doing that. Mm-hmm. And you're constantly bartering with your teammates, because it's not about doing the mission. It's about doing the mission, making it out, and being the most infamous. So there's no point in just sort of slanking out at the bottom end going, oh, we've done it. Well done, you. Whereas everybody else is going, my God, did you see the vampire? They were insane. She butchered everyone. She's a legend. And nobody really knows about the goblin who stabbed a few people in the back. So you've got to do the mission in such a spectacular way that you come out on top. And if that means pushing the abyssal dwarf into the middle of a bunch of elves and cats, then so be it. And they have been rocking this Kickstarter. So they've been... going for short stretch goals where they've been jumping between either adding a miniature or adding some more cards for the gameplay to develop the gameplay, so that we're not seeing big stretch goals. They're little short ones where they're going, here's a couple more disruption cards. So here's a couple of things. I'm just getting a steady progression.
Yeah.
They've also unlocked both halflings, including things like a sorcerer. And when I say sore, I mean sorcerer. she makes sauces. She's a cook. Their magic is based on cookery.
I think that's her there.
Yeah, that's her balanced on the pot.
Gastromancy
is the style, and the gastromancy and the sorcerer makes the sauces. They've also added some stuff for the Trident Realm, so they're really developing different expansions, and each expansion will have a unique feel. So the core game is all about the elves and the drakons. No Half Measures is all about halflings, and Trident Realms are getting their own. So they've all these flavors that they're sort of weaving into this occasionally cooperative game.
Well, so, yeah. I quite like the idea of this.
I can't imagine we will make it out of any mission when we play this. I imagine what will mostly happen is we'll all spend the entire game butchering each other and not even getting near the objectives.
But will we have fun doing that?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
Are all the sculpts new for this game, are they?
Yeah, everything's being sculpted as new. The range is coming out in the same sort of plastic that they used for Hellboy, so they'll be pre-built for board game pieces, but they've recently added these as additional add-ons, where you can get these as resin. So if you want to add them as heroes for Kings of War or Vanguard, you can pick them up, and these will be resin, so finer cast, with the exception of the Drakon Lord, who's going to stay plastic because he would be ridiculously expensive in resin.
Yeah.
But the detail they put into that plastic is just insane anyway.
Okay, so our last Kickstarter, is the Curious Cats. I was going to call it of Crumpet
Town.
Curious Case of the Cats of Crump Town.
That's a tongue twister.
13 days left to go. And the little models in this are adorable, absolutely adorable. Ben, what can you tell us about it, mate?
Okay, so this is from the guys at Northumbrian, and they've created a range of cat-based characters that are themed around the iconic classes and stuff that you will know from Dungeons & Dragons and the new 5th edition as well. And so they've created this huge range of different characters that fit into their wonderful fantasy world, which is full of whimsy and all that kind of thing. They've got an adventure for all of this to go along with as well. So if you back, you're going to get a 5th edition compatible adventure to play using all of these different characters, which is very cool. But as someone who likes their anthropomorphic animals, I think these are very, very cool indeed.
Yes.
There are really amazing characters in here. Loads of wonderful sculpts that are completely different from a lot of stuff you normally have been seeing out there as well. It's one of the big things that Northumbrian Tin Soldier do really well, I think, is these like really nice iconic sculpts. And there's so much sort of character baked into all of these, which I think is really nice. One of the other things I was going to say is that as well as this, obviously you think, oh, Anthropomorphic Cats is a really interesting thing. How does that all come together in the sort of fantasy world and stuff? It's a little bit like Mice and Mystics. So there's like a little thing of all these characters got turned into these cats that you can see here. And so they're going out and doing their adventures and stuff in this world, which I thought was really, really fun. They've also done some cool stuff, sort of like in additional content. So you've got Luna the Dragon, who is the Kickstarter exclusive character, who was a little kitten that always believed that wanted to be a dragon. And so that's why they've put on this wonderful costume that you can see, and they're going to be going out to the world to try and cause all kinds of mischief. And you've also got some additional stuff. So you've got the Kitten Guard, who could be used as NPCs in your campaigns. And you've also got some enemies as well. So they've got some stuff with the Raven Folk and the Corlock, so Warlock, Corlock in there too. So you've got lots of villains and everything there as well to try and make your own campaigns and tell stories on the tabletop. But just a wonderful, lovely, whimsical Kickstarter for you to go and check out for this one. That's very different from that there as well.
I like that one.
It's absolutely adorable, yeah, isn't it?
The box of invisibility is good. They are, I think they're coming up close on scratching posts. And
really?
And a ball of yarn. And balls of yarn have 20 goodness. We know that. So yeah, they really are leaning into the catness of it all.
Yeah.
In fact, there they are, yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful Kickstarter. That's really that one. Cool. Yeah, so 13 days left for Northumbrian Tin Soldier, the Curious Cats of Crumpdown. Go and check it out. Right, so remember, head across to on tabletop.com, check out Infinity Defiance Week for your chance to win one of two or three copies of Operation Wildfire. Mm-hmm. And also last week we were giving away some Kings of War 3rd Edition starter sets.
Oh, yeah.
If you head over to the Prize Center on tabletop, forgive me. You'll be able to see whether you're one of the winners, and then you can enter the prize claim form.
Coolio. Right.
That is us. You can join us tomorrow morning for XLBS for the Cult Games members. I've no idea what we're going to be talking about tomorrow. We'll find out tomorrow. Big thank you to Ben and Jerry and Justin and Lloyd, and most of all, a big thank you to you guys at home. This has been the Weekender, and you have been awesome. Go ahead and check out our other content on screen now. And while you're at it, why not hit subscribe and remember to ding our dong. Go on, you know you want to click it. Go on.